It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And on today's episode, we are going to talk about waiver wire transactions you need to be making before week five. Adam, what's up, man?
It's a good time here. Week five? It's weird.
Yeah. It's weird. Crazy times, man. It's flying by.
I know. Surprised I'm not still in bed after that delay on Monday Night Football, which was really ironic and weird. But yeah, this is an interesting week for waivers because a couple more running back injuries that one of them is definitely going to, we've already gotten word that one running back is going to miss a handful of weeks. So that's going to open up a massive opportunity for a waiver wire running back. There's a couple other running backs. There's a potential change at quarterback for a team that a lot of people have been waiting on. And of course, there's always, especially because like I had Joe Metz on the Sunday recap pod. And going through each game, it's like the tight ends this week, everybody scored a touchdown except for Travis Kelce, apparently. Like, there's quietly a lot of really viable waiver wire tight ends that should have been picked up last week that we might talk about. But yeah, like, it's a pretty, again, I don't think, we can lead right into it with Damien Williams before we get into it. But like, Damien Williams might be the one guy that you say, okay, especially if Dave Montgomery's on your roster, you spend a ton of fab. But I think it's overall like a really solid week for waivers. I think there's a lot of helpful players to pick up.
I mean, dude, it's a really interesting week. But before we get out of it, you talked about the Vegas stuff. You talked about the game and all the lightning and how you have a covered stadium and now you are still holding up for lightning. I don't understand. But before we leave Vegas, I got to get this up in here, man, because people, we have talked about this and we've got to mention it again. Before we leave the city that never sleeps, got to talk about this giveaway we got going on over at FTN Daily. I mean, look, dude, it is insane. I know you mentioned this earlier in the week. This is still live on the site. So if you head over to FTNDaily.com, you can pull up all the details of this on the main page. We are giving away a trip to Vegas airfare, tickets to a Raiders game, hotel accommodations, all for getting signed up for FTNDaily.com. Head over there today, get signed up with the promo code FTC, save 10%. And it's all tiered, man. Like, obviously, we're giving away cash prizes as well. So, like, first place, grand prize, go to the game, tickets, flight, hotel, all the things. We're also giving away five spots, like, money up to, like, $500, $250, $150. All of this just for signing up for all of the fabulous content over at FTN Daily. And, Adam, I'm not in these in NBA streets like you are, my friend, but we got like specials for NBA.
I can't wait. I really like, and it's like what it really helps too. Like, obviously, like I love the NFL, but I'd be lying if I said that I didn't love the NBA as much, if not a little bit more. It's just always been my favorite sport to talk about. But then what makes me love it even more and even more excited and motivated to create a bunch of great content for the site is being able to talk to everybody else that does content for NBA, and it just makes you even more excited. You know, you have Stefano, Joe Metz, Kyle Murray, Zach Graham. Like, it's just, you know,
Eddie Fear and his beautiful hair.
Like, it's just like our NBA team is so stacked. And look, preseason NBA was last night. There was DFS. We had a DFS show with, I believe it was Zach and Stefano. So, like, it's not like we're just waiting until the regular season starts. Like, we're getting you prepared right now, and it is very, very exciting. I can't wait.
It's fantastic, man. I mean, all the content coming out across the site. So, again, get signed up. Get entered to win this. It is awesome. Back to the news, waiver wire guys. We talked about David Montgomery news. I mean, look, it looks like he's going to be out 4 to 5 weeks. Adam, what do you think about this backfield? And I know Damien Williams, we have written down here on the show sheet, maybe Khalil Herbert. Damien Williams is only rostered in 10% of Yahoo leagues right now. What are your thoughts on these guys and how much fab are you willing to go for them?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, let's break it down, right? We've had Elijah Mitchell, We've had Chuba Hubbard, and now we have Damian Williams. We knew that Chuba Hubbard, or we knew McCaffrey, I believe we knew at least, before, you know, waivers ran, that he was going to miss, you know, that it didn't sound like he was going to be placed on IR, so that means no more than 2-3 weeks, right? And then Elijah Mitchell was kind of a different situation because he looked like the clear lead back, Mostert out for the year, and then Mitchell unfortunately suffers a shoulder injury that we thought would only be a week or so, but he's now missed 2 games. We know for a fact, we got the report, I think Tom Pelissero tweeted it out, that Dave Montgomery is going to miss 4 to 5 weeks. Chicago has a week 10 bye. They're saying he could return after that. Or is it either week, it's either week 9 bye and he returns week 10, or it's a week 10 bye and he returns week 11. I forget exactly which one it was, but like, for, especially if Dave Montgomery is on your team, I mean, Damian Williams is a talented player. We've seen it. I know he's been in the Chiefs offense, but like, he's a talented player. He produced in, you know, a limited role on Sunday. I think you definitely, in terms of fab, go over what we said, at least, you should go for Elijah Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And you can make the case over Chuba as well.
I mean, look, we got the time frame here, and I think that there's two different ways you can go with this. Damian Williams, it looks like he had a thigh bruise, a contusion. He's not going to miss any time, at least that's early reports we're getting right now. With Damian Williams, yes, I don't disagree. I think that you're looking at 30% of your fab, probably at least 25% if you want to go the low point of that, putting in also like 5% bids for Khalil Herbert, because this backfield is going to be really, I mean, it's cut and dry, dude. It's Khalil Herbert, it's Damian Williams. Tariq Cohen's still not back. We have no clue even if he's going to come back whenever that does happen, if he's going to be anywhere close to effective.
I think he can't return till week 7, so.
Yeah, I mean, but even at that point, like,
oh, no,
what
I'm
kind
saying,
of
yeah, like, I
what
don't,
version do we get of him? Like,
I don't
last
think
time we
he's
saw
going
him, he wasn't
to be,
good.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be, like, I don't think he's going to play much. And, like, that, like week 7, it's not even a lock that he does return week 7.
Agreed. So, I mean, both of these running backs need to be rostered. Pick them up. If you can't get Damian Williams, you don't have the fab left to get him, put in $1, $2 bids, 5% bids on Khalil Herbert. Because, yes, we also got the news about Jakeem Grant's been traded to the Bears. Trying to unpack a little bit of that, I mean, maybe they just got him for kick return duties, and so Khalil Herbert is going to just factor into the backfield, and he's not even doing any of those responsibilities anymore. So
it makes a ton of sense.
I mean, looking at the schedule upcoming for these Bears backs, they get the Raiders this week, who we just saw Austin Ekeler just eviscerate. The Raiders have been terrible versus all things running backs this year. Then they get Green Bay, Tampa, and San Francisco for the next 4 games. I mean, these are startable weeks, man. Like, is Tampa a good matchup? No. But Green Bay can be had versus pass-catching backs. San Francisco has been quietly bad versus the run. I mean, they're 26th in second-level yards. And this offensive line is not great. But if you're looking at one of these two backs that could walk into opportunities, like they're going to get 12 to 15 touches per game and all the passing game usage if the other one is out, then you need to be spending for these backs right now. Like, this is what we're talking about, Adam. Like, injuries happen. And, I mean, Khalil Herbert, even if he factors in, if Damian Williams is the only guy back there, we know he's going to be running the pass routes, he's legit going to get 20 touches if he's healthy. So I think you got to put in offers for both of these guys.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the other thing. Like, Damian Williams, even in bad matchups, like you mentioned, like Tampa Bay, like, he's still going to get 3 to 5 catches per game, I would imagine. So yeah, like, I would go at least 35% for Damian Williams, who, again, like, is he going to be as efficient as he was during his time with the Chiefs? No, probably not, but he's a talented running back. Like, you can make the case outside of, you know, Kareem Hunt, Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard, like, he's up there in terms of backup running backs in the NFL. Like, he's good.
Agreed, man. So let's stay in Chicago and talk about a player I know you were really high on coming into the season.
Let's go.
You got his name mentioned here. He's coming off a really good game. Talk to me about Darnell Mooney.
All right. Please, please, Chicago, let Justin Fields start the rest of the season. Please. Because if Dalton gets back in this starting lineup, Mooney isn't going to be as appealing. We saw it the first couple games of the season. Justin Fields in week number 4 attempted 6 passes 20 yards or more down the field. Andy Dalton has yet to attempt such a pass this year. So, and again, a lot of that I think has to do with Bill Lazor taking over play calling duties. But clearly, and this is what I've been, how many times have we done a podcast, Debra, where I've talked about how excited I am for the Darnell Mooney, Justin Fields connection. And being able to watch that on Sunday was, it was beautiful. I mean, they connected on pass plays of 31, 24, and 64 yards. Mooney had an average depth of target of 18. He had a 41% target share. Like, this is what I was, you know, this is what I was dreaming about in the offseason, like, legitimately. And I think, again, I do think Bill Lazor calling plays is huge for this offense. Now, I think there was a report that said that Dalton, if he's healthy, is going to start, which, again, is...
Damn you, Nagy.
Dude, it's been every week that something's come out from the Bears where Twitter is like, everybody on Twitter is like, what is this team doing? And it happened again. I understand a lot of people are going to say, yeah, it was the Lions, but like, who cares? With how bad this offense has been, showing those signs against any team is massive. And Justin Fields made some, like, this was a great week for the rookie quarterbacks. They all, like, they obviously, it was a slow start for a lot of the rookie quarterbacks. They all made some great throws and great plays this week. Justin Fields made some, I mean, the velocity on some of his throws, the deep ball accuracy has always been there. Like, he's a stud. Let him keep playing. And if he keeps playing, Darnell Mooney's going to smash. I mean, he had 23 deep targets last year. Didn't catch a single one of them because they weren't really catchable. 32% of his deep targets were deemed catchable, according to our dad at FTN Fantasy. That was a bottom five rate in the NFL. Like, that's going to change with Fields. Lazor's play calling led to more deep shots. It's Darnell Mooney time as long as Justin Fields is under center for the Chicago Bears.
If they go back to Andy Dalton, I legit don't understand it. I don't get it. But Matt Nagy seems like he is that horse's ass that would do it. Like, legit, like, did you see the clip of the press conference? Like, Matt Nagy just could not help himself. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, but, you know, Bill called a good game. But hey, I'm involved too. I mean, I sign off on some things and some stuff. I mean, like... Come on, man.
He was involved.
Don't be that guy.
He gave the play calling duties to Bill Lazor. That was the best thing he's done all year.
Yeah, and the worst thing he keeps doing is rehiring himself as the damn offensive coordinator. Like, get out of the way, man. Like, just let Lazor call the freaking offense. Let Justin Fields start. Andy Dalton does not interject any type of energy or playmaking ability into this offense. And we can talk about it for days. Like,
you're not in contention anyway. Like, you can't even make the argument that, you know what, if the season gets out of hand, we'll just let Fields. Like, you're not competing with Green Bay. You're not. Everybody knows it. You're not. You're not going to beat the Packers. Are you going to get a wild card? No. Like, Fields is better. Fields is the truth. He's a superstar. And like you see the energy, like the team just, like you said, there's this energy when Fields was playing quarterback, especially at home.
Well, my whole thing about it is that, like, you want any type of like Andy Dalton cannot help make up for any of these offensive line concerns. Justin Fields can. Mm-hmm. He has real playmaking ability. Andy Dalton is so scared shitless, like, he won't even throw downfield because he can't, because the offensive line is not good. You have the mobility of Justin Fields and the ability to escape rushers. Use these things. These are how you craft explosive plays and you make plays. Like, Andy Dalton offers none of that for this team. He neuters the entire damn offense. Like, play Fields, have at least a chance. Give yourself a chance. But we'll see if it happens or not, man. I don't want to get too bogged down and go off on multiple rants about Chicago right now. I agree with you. If Fields is under center, it's Darnell Mooney time, and let's go, dude. Another wide receiver, and we should have brought him up last week. Didn't bring him up last week. Oversight by us. But I got to mention him here, man. He did not play this last week. Rashad Bateman needs to be owned in every damn league. Needs to be. Has to be. You look at Lamar Jackson. He is tossing deep on a ton of plays this year. The passing rate is up just a tick. Not a ton, but they're at 52% right now. And the thing that's helping some of these passing numbers is Lamar Jackson is up there, at, like, he's top 12 in yards per attempt. He is throwing. He's in the middle of the NFL right now, 21st in passing attempts. And you look at where he's sitting at, man, like, Rashad Bateman is a guy that needs to be rostered in all of these leagues because, one, he's a damn baller. Two, the passing rate is more than what we thought it was going to be in Baltimore. If not that, the pace. Like, they're 23rd in pace.
Which, by the way, Greg Roman told us as much. And I understand losing Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins probably impacts that. But, yeah, like, I think they were going to go more pass-heavy regardless. And they are.
But you can't be run-heavy when your damn running backs are Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman. Like, these are not your heroes. Like, and we're seeing that, man. Like, they understand that the running game is not going to be as efficient. So we're going to throw more because we have better weapons in the passing game. Mark Andrews, Marquise Hollywood Brown, which, yes, he deserves the Hollywood moniker, is back after the diving layout catch that he made last week. Oh, my Lord, that was beautiful.
Yeah, that was, I think a lot of people, like, if they didn't play him in DFS this week, were looking at that after last week and saying, really? That couldn't have happened against Detroit. But no, good for him. Like, I'm that was awesome. And look, he's been really good. And like, Bateman coming back doesn't mean you stop playing Hollywood Brown as your wide receiver three or your flex. But Rashad Bateman, like, it seems like forever ago, but during training camp and stuff, he was just torching Baltimore's corners in practices. Like, he is he's a stud. You mentioned Baltimore's throwing the ball more, and like, I just like, where else, if you're looking at receivers that you're not planning on starting anyway, like, why not stash an immensely talented prospect in a good offense that's throwing more with a quarterback who's playing tremendous right now?
I just think that the upside is still there. Nothing's changed for Bateman. Like, Brown playing well, this offense is throwing the ball more, whether you want to talk about the passing rate or really want to talk about the pace, because them not being 32nd in pace, if they're middle of the road in pace versus last year being the slowest team or one of the slowest teams in the NFL, even if their passing rate is not great, it's still going to lead to more attempts because of a higher play volume. And you look at Bateman, Bateman is that guy. Like, over his final two collegiate seasons, top 10. He's actually 8th in yards per route run over those last two seasons. And that's playing multiple roles, Adam. Like, we talked about this when we broke him down as a prospect. Played outside 1 year, won every single route. Mm-hmm. Played inside the next year, had COVID, wasn't the same guy, but still won every single damn route. He is the dude. And he's a guy that legit could be a stretch run, like, league-winning type of hero for you. And I know people might say that's hyperbolic and blah, 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 and Baltimore's not going to throw enough. It's like, they're throwing deep. They need a number one wide receiver. As much as we talk about, like, Hollywood's playing well, he's still not a true number one wide receiver. Like, Rashad Bateman can be that guy. And he's only rostered in 25% of Yahoo leagues. Correct that, people. Pick him up. Stash him, because all he's going to do when he comes back is show you that he is that dude. So you've got to be going out there, got to be picking up Bateman. Before we, let's move over to the running back position. Talk to you these other names here, Adam. You got Kenny Gainwell on the list here. Tell me why.
Yeah, what was it, week one or week two? He was on this list when we did the waiver wire episode, and like,
people still aren't listening. He's still out there.
This makes me so happy because Kenny Gainwell was my fourth ranked running back in this class behind the three of ETN, Najee Harris, and Javonte Williams. And he fell so far in the draft, which I still don't understand. I understand he's a running back, but like, he's good. He's still, in my opinion, the best pass catching running back from this class. I understand Najee Harris is getting 74 targets a game, but like, Kenny Gainwell is an absolute stud. He's taking Miles Sanders completely out of the game in the 2-minute drill and on third downs for the most part. He's starting to eat into Miles Sanders' red zone work. And look, he converted a 7-yard touchdown last game. Miles Sanders has 9 carries over the last 2 weeks. The Eagles, yeah, they've been behind at points of those games, but they've been abandoning the run well before the game's been, you know, where they've had to throw a lot. Like, they abandoned the run early against Dallas. They didn't even try to run the ball against Kansas City of all teams, which made zero sense. So, like, clearly they don't want to run the football. Jalen Hurts is playing well, really well. Kenny Gainwell is going to be able to get targets. I mean, he had 8 last game, I believe. In PPR leagues, 12-team PPR leagues, he needs to be added pretty much in every league. And, like, I don't think people are realizing enough. You know, I think the only people that are, not the only people, but, like, those that are that have Miles Sanders on their team are like, damn, Kenny Gainwell's playing a lot. But I think everybody else needs to also understand that he's playing a lot and he's giving you flex-worthy production right now on a team that's abandoning the run and they're throwing a lot. And Gainwell is so good as a pass catcher. And again, like, he is not coming off the field in two-minute drills. He's playing a lot on third downs. So, yeah, he needs to be 100% rostered right now.
Sorry, I kind of zoned out after you told me. I went into a euphoria after all I heard was Jalen Hurts is playing well, Jalen Hurts is playing well, Jalen Hurts is playing well.
How many touchdowns, by the way, has he had called back this year?
Oh,
there was a couple yesterday, painful, or on Sunday, and I think there was, might have been one of the Dallas game, but like, yeah, he's playing awesome. Like, Nick Sirianni's play calling was good against Atlanta, and that's it. That was the only game he called a good, that was the only week he called a good game.
I mean, Jalen Hurts is playing well, man. You're talking about Gainwell. Yes, I think Philly is going to be more in trailing scripts in the weeks to come for the rest
look
of
at their,
the season.
Yeah, look at their next 2 weeks. It's what, Carolina and Tampa?
Yeah, they're going to be trailing. And so Gainwell is going to have
that Tampa
targets.
Bay game is tailor-made for Kenny Gainwell, by the way.
Yep, so was last week, man. Like, so I like the call. People should have already picked him up. We talked about him weeks before, but if he's still out there, you got to go get him right now. Staying on the running back position, man. As we're recording this, the news is out there that Joe Mixon is going to miss the rest of the season. Not actually, but I mean, Taylor's saying he's day to day. So it's at least in the range of outcomes that Joe Mixon doesn't see another snap for the rest of the season. Because if Taylor calls you day to day, you still need to be worried, my friend. And that leads me to Samaje Perine. Needs to be picked up in all leagues, at least stash him. And see how this news unfolds. He's only rostered in 3% of the Yahoo leagues. And look, we know that he's going to be the guy. Chris Evans is going to be probably involved at least a little bit on passing downs. Samaje Perine is going to get most of the run. He's been playing running passing routes. The upcoming matchups are not fantastic. But I mean, look, running back is pretty damn nasty after like top 12, 15 players. Samaje Perine is probably, if he is going to be the starter, he's going to be a top 24 back. They have Green Bay, Detroit, Baltimore, the Jets, and Cleveland upcoming. And you're looking at those five matchups. Two to three of those are plus matchups. And the other ones, we know if Perine's going to be the starter, he's walking into 15-plus touches. And that's going to probably put him square in the bullseye for a top 24 back. Pick him up. Stash him now. Moving us out of the running back position, let's get to some tight ends here, man. I mean, I've got to bring him up. I know you probably got some thoughts on him. Dawson Knox, like, oh, all of my DFS lineups from last week are hurting. There's pain. Cole Beasley was not a thing, and that's because Dawson Knox is. And you look at his usage over the last 3 weeks, Adam, like, and we talk about how do you break down the tight end position. What do we talk about all the damn time about being the lifeblood for tight ends? It's touchdowns. Okay, Dawson Knox is leading the team in red zone targets with 6. It's routes. Over the last 3 games, he's 10th in routes amongst all tight ends. 45% in the slot or out wide. I mean, he's a guy you got to be picking up now, man. Like, he's on a team that's going to pass first. He's having a role in this offense. He's played 78 to 83% of the snaps. He's running routes. The upcoming matchups are not fantastic. They're not terrible either. They get Kansas City this week, who's 23rd against the tight end. Tennessee, Miami, Jacksonville, who's 22nd, and the Jets, who were literally the best matchup on the board for all things tight end last season. Dawson Knox is a guy that needs to be rostered in every single league right now. And if you're looking at a man like he's not picked up or even on enough squads right now, he's a guy that legit could be a top 12 tight end for the rest of the season. Tell me your thoughts on him.
Yeah, I mean, he has 3 targets from inside the 10-yard line. That's tied for the league lead among all tight ends. He has, what, 3 touchdowns the last 2 weeks? He had 2 on Sunday. And he and Josh Allen, like, this is, like, not... This is clearly a Bills fan thought process, but, like, they're really close. Like, I can tell you firsthand, Josh Allen and Dawson Knox are very close. So, like, it's not surprising to see them playing well together. And
Is this a brunch narrative? Are they going to breakfast? I need this reporting from you.
It's not quite a brunch narrative, but they are close. But like you look at a lot of the touchdowns Dawson Knox gets, the Bills will get inside the five and they'll run like this fake like quarterback draw where Josh Allen will take the snap, look like he's about to start running, and then he'll just do like a little pop pass to a wide open Dawson Knox. And when you have Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, and Josh Allen with his ability to run, nobody's thinking about Dawson Knox. And talent's always been there, right? Like,
We talked about him as a pickup in Dynasty in the offseason, my friend.
Yeah.
We told people.
Like, he's always been talented. It's just been a lot of, like, inconsistencies, which is why there's been, in the past, you know, links to Zach Ertz or other tight ends. But, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean said that they wanted to get the tight end more involved this year. And we all took that as, oh, okay, they're just going to get Zach Ertz more involved after they trade for him. That didn't come to fruition, but Dawson Knox is still clearly involved. He had a career-high 8 targets on Sunday. Like, it's not like he's just getting... it's not like Juwan Johnson on the Saints, right? Getting 5 routes a game, but he scores because he gets a touchdown from 5 yards out. Like, he's clearly involved in one of the best offenses in the NFL. And, yeah, like, I think tight end is all of a sudden so interesting now because you have Dawson Knox. And then I'll bring up who I was going to bring up, Dalton Schultz, who at first I was a little bit cautious because prior to last week, the snaps and the routes between Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin were pretty much like lockstep. But Sunday was the first week that Schultz started to separate himself a little bit in terms of routes and playing time. He scores again. He's getting, I think he has at least 6 targets in every game except for one. I mean, Schultz and Dawson Knox are tight ends in top 5 offenses in the NFL. They will never see, you know, they're like the 5th or 4th player you worry about for opposing defenses. So they're always going to have, you know, opportunities, and they're producing. So like when you have tight ends that are getting hurt, or you have like players like Evan Engram who are just completely disappointing, the Patriots tight ends have been a disappointment. Like I think at this point now, Dalton Schultz and Dawson Knox both need to be treated as top 12 tight ends, which sounds crazy, but that's where we're at. I mean, Logan Thomas is out. He might miss some time. There goes another tight end. Who else has been disappointing? I mean, Kyle Pitts, like if you started Schultz or Dawson Knox over Kyle Pitts last week or this week, I don't think you're crazy. Dallas Goedert scored, but like Zach Ertz is getting a ton of targets and that's taking away from his upside. So I'm not saying Dawson Knox is going to score every week, but like, yeah, these guys need to be close to 100% rostered, especially given the state of the tight end position. And look, bye weeks are coming up. I think bye weeks start in week 6. So,
Well, the thing about Schultz too is that we haven't even mentioned here is that Amari Cooper is banged up. So you have Gallup out. He's not even going to come back yet. I know that his return is pending in the next few weeks, but Cooper's banged up with a hamstring. He was in and out of last week's game. So even if you were somewhat concerned about Blake Jarwin, if Cooper misses any time, you're looking at a Dallas passing attack that literally has what? CeeDee Lamb, Cedric Wilson, and Schultz? Like, yeah, he's gonna have consistent volume, man. I mean, so I don't hate the call at all.
Real quick, I want to ask you a couple tight ends. Like, Robert Tonyan, would you rather have Schultz and Knox?
Yeah, easily. Okay. Easily.
I agree. Goddard?
It's a good conversation, man. I mean, like, Ertz is there running routes, but Goddard's getting all the high-value touches. Like, he's the one getting all the red zone targets and stuff. I mean, Ertz takes away from his absolute ceiling, but I don't know. I think I would take Knox over Goddard. I don't know about Schultz. I mean, tell me your thoughts. Am I crazy with that?
I mean, that's why I asked. I don't think so. I think Goddard, I don't even know if he has a higher ceiling because, like, it's close. But, like, it just shows that Schultz and Dawson Knox clearly are in this top 12 range.
Yeah, they're in the top 12 range. I think that's a perfect segue to that because where we're having trouble here is the guys that are on that 8 to 12 kind of cusp. Because I mean, honestly, like a lot of the tight ends we were talking about walking into the season that were in that type of range, like, you know, 7 to 12, 13. I mean, a lot of them are deceased. I mean, Anthony Firster's not a thing. Cole Kmet's not a thing. Irv, RIP. Like, all of these tight ends have fallen off the map, and now you're looking at, you're reevaluating this lower tier of tight end ones, and it's like, well, okay. Dalton Schultz, hello. Dallas Goedert, yeah, you were there kind of to begin with, but you're still there. And, I mean, looking at Dawson Knox and these other guys, like, that's kind of where they're at, because Jonnu Smith's not been a thing. Hunter Henry is still splitting routes. Like, these other tight ends have either fallen off the map, they're not getting the usage, the offenses are handcuffed. Talking about you, Chicago.
What about Gesicki?
Like, it's been bad. Gesicki, he's in the conversation, crazy enough. And part of this is because of, I mean, you want to talk about continued injuries. Will Fuller's now going to miss time. Devontae Parker's not playing amazing. I think that Gesicki's still in that same conversation. I would probably, I'd prefer all three of those tight ends over Gesicki only because.
Yeah, I would too.
Jacoby Brissett's terrible, man. He's got awful. Miami is throwing and running at a top five clip in both passing rate and pace, but it doesn't matter when your quarterback play is that damn terrible. So I think Gesicki's okay for the volume, but I don't think the efficiency is going to be there for him, sadly. Before we get up out of here, man, we talked about, I mentioned a little bit of quarterback talk, and maybe we kind of buried the lead. Maybe we should have let off with this guy. Trey Lance, going to be the starter for the 49ers for the next few weeks, man.
Maybe.
I mean, I think that, like...
Maybe.
Well, how long do you think Jimmy G is out? Look, well, I mean, kind of walk me through these recent reports.
Well, so after the game, I'm trying to find if it was Garoppolo himself that said it or if it was the coaching staff. I believe, okay, so Garoppolo said that he, after the game, he anticipated that he would be out a couple weeks with the calf injury. And then on Monday, Kyle Shanahan said that the calf injury wasn't as bad as they thought and he actually could play this week. So, we'll see. But either way, Lance needs to be under radar, obviously. He plays, he starts the second half, scores over 20 fantasy points in a half of football. I don't know what it is, and I talked about it with this with Mets, but like when Trey Lance plays, there's one receiver wide open for an easy 70-yard touchdown, apparently. Happened in the preseason, happened on Sunday with Deebo Samuel. But like even if you take that play away, he ran for 41 yards on 7 carries. He had 5, I believe, scrambles. So like if his first read wasn't there, he took off and ran. And that was, it's obviously immensely appealing for fantasy. Debo's playing great. Kittle's still there. Like the Ayuk's going to keep coming along. Like the pass catchers are good. And the matchup, I mean, Arizona, a team that's allowed the most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks last year. They play a ton of man coverage and they blitz a lot, which leads to a ton of rushing production from quarterbacks. I mean, Lance could start in a potential game where they have to score points to keep up with Arizona. I mean, if Garoppolo is ruled out, Lance would be pretty much a lock for a top 12 quarterback for me in my rankings.
Yeah, I mean, same. And that's the other thing we need to talk about. This is not really like super flex oriented because he's probably already rostered. He has been rostered. He'll continue to be rostered in super flex leagues. But if you're in a league where you're starting one quarterback and you have, you know, this myriad of like low end top 12 guys and you're kind of like, I don't know what to do with you. Like, if you've been rolling out Ryan Tannehill and hating yourself, or you're, what do I do with Joe Burrow on a weekly basis? Like, is he going to throw? Are they going to run a lot? Like, okay, well, the ceiling and the upside is probably capped because of their pace and the passing rate.
That's another thing. What if Mixon being out, they just say, you know what, Burrow looked healthier on Thursday. Let's air it out.
They could. But, you know, the pace is still a little bit of a concern. I got to go back and dive into all that this week. But my whole point here is that if you're in a matchup this week, where you need ceiling, like, you're looking at your matchup coming up in week 5, and the other team across from you is
yeah, like
just stacked.
You're facing Kyler, right? Like, the other team has Kyler, yep. and you see Trey Lance. It's like, all right, do I take, you know, if I've been starting Derek Carr and I get, you know, games where he doesn't go to overtime, he's going to get me like 18 to 20 points, I guess, whatever. But like, Lance could go for 30.
Yeah, you need that type of ceiling. Like, if you're looking at your matchup and it's like, I'm playing Kyler, I'm playing somebody that has Mahomes, Josh Allen, these upper tier, like, top five quarterbacks, and you're like, all right, look, I know that if he starts and he runs, he's going to give me, like, 15, 18, maybe 20. but his ceiling is to like crush and be a top five quarterback. That is the point where even if you're in one quarterbacks and you feel pretty good about your starter, maybe low end QB one, you need to be picking up Trey Lance. Because if you need that type of ceiling for this week, hell, if Jimmy G is going to be out for the next few weeks, Trey Lance could stack top five production at that position based off of alone what he does with his legs. Because everybody loves to shit on Jalen Hurts. He has still been playing, even in some of the games where he has not played well as a passer, he's been putting up numbers. And you could talk to me about garbage time, and you could talk about all these different things. However, whatever terrible narrative you want to craft about Jalen Hurts, I like fantasy points, Adam. I'm sorry. Actually, you know what? I'm not sorry about that. I love fantasy production and fantasy points. So I love what Jalen Hurts is doing. And Trey Lance can offer you that. Even if the quarterback play is not amazing, it's not beautiful. I'm not asking you to look at the box scores and go watch every second of the game. But at the end of the day, when you look at your matchup and you're looking for a ceiling play that could put you maybe over the top for week five, Trey Lance does offer that, man. Before we gotta get up out of here, again, if you are having leagues where you were like, look, I am 0-4, I'm probably staring at 0-5, but if I get Trey Lance, maybe it puts me over the top for this week. Don't lose hope in your fantasy league. Head over to Top Prop Sports right now. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. You can create head-to-head contests, and this is how you keep the dream alive, how you keep winning money. You might not be able to take home the prize money in the first place trophy out of your fantasy league, but you can import your league for Yahoo or ESPN, create your own contest, and win back that buy-in as the season rolls along. Make people put their money where their mouth is. Head over to topropsports.com today. Promo code FTN. Adam, that's all the waiver wire stuff, man. We're going to be back tomorrow talking to trades, talking players you need to get on and off your rosters before week five. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.